Good morning and Merry Christmas from the St. Matthew's Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to our Christmas morning worship service at 10:30 this morning. Our doors open at 9:45 for coffee, cookies, and Christmas goodies. We celebrate Christmas morning with our Advent sermon series. Pastor Greg Barr's message is entitled, Christmas is a Season for Love. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the praise team, the band, the choir, and the orchestra with It's Christmas. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Luke 2:1-19.
Let's pray together. God, I expect no one at the stable that night had any idea all that was happening around them. Mary couldn't have known all that would take place over the next 30 years of Jesus' life. And yet, all she knew was in that moment you had called her to say yes. And she did. And through her simple act of faith, you were able to work in a transformative way. God, I expect that in most of our lives, we have little idea what you could really do if your power were unleashed through us. We've been playing around the edges and involved when we want to be, not realizing perhaps that the power to change the world could be unleashed through people like us as your Holy Spirit works through us. And even though we may not understand all the implications of what it might look like to fully follow you, give us the faith that Mary had to simply say yes, to experience and to express your love in this world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. After returning home from a world concert tour back to Dublin, Bono, the lead singer of U2, found himself in church on Christmas Eve. And he said it was during that Christmas Eve service that the reality of Christmas really struck him. And he said, I sat there in that pew with tears streaming down my face. And here's what he said he was thinking. Love needs to find a form. Intimacy needs to be whispered. Love has to become action or something concrete. It would have to happen. There must be an incarnation. Love must be made flesh. Well, we are just 1 week now away from Christmas. Next Sunday, we'll come together here to celebrate the great good news that Jesus Christ has come into our world. And all these 4 weeks leading up to it, we've talked about and we've lit candles about and we've been praying, preparing our hearts and lives as we think about Christ coming into our world. We've talked about hope and peace and joy. And this morning we want to talk about why did Jesus come? And to me, I think the message of Christmas can be expressed in a verse of Scripture. It's a very familiar verse, a very simple passage of Scripture, and yet incredibly profound. It's in John 3:16. And the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you think how unusual this is. What a new idea this was, that God could love the world. This was unheard of because the gods of antiquity, they didn't love the world. There was not this idea in antiquity that the gods loved the world. If you consider the pantheon of Greek gods, for example, human beings were little more than playthings in the hands of the gods. And so they may have influenced human behaviors, but the gods didn't love humanity. And so 2,000 years ago, there was this group of people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ. And they began to spread this message that God loved the world. And it was unheard of. And then they took it even a step farther and said, because God loved the world, God himself came into this world. And he became one of you. He became one of us. And he didn't stop there. He experienced life like you and I do, but then he gave his life for yours He laid down his life willingly because of love. And so John 3:16 tells us something very important. God loves the world. And it's not because God is needy. God doesn't need the world. God doesn't need us. In fact, the Bible says that the whole race of humanity has sinned against God. But then far from writing us off, far from letting our story end in separation from God, God still chose to love us. God still chose to love you and me. In John 3:16, the Apostle John was quoting Jesus, but later he wrote these words in 1 John 4 to further explain perhaps what Jesus meant. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then he said, we love because he first loved us. We didn't love God first. God loved us first. We didn't choose God first. God chose us. Even though we weren't perfect, even though we were far from God, God still chose us. But the scripture says he chose even before the foundations of the world were set in place to make us, human beings, the object of his love and as of his affection. Now, toward the end of his life, John, living now in the Isle of Patmos, wrote another book, his last book that he wrote, and it was called the Book of Revelation. He was an old man, having outlived all of the other disciples of Jesus. And he wanted to write, perhaps in the opening chapter of the Book of Revelation, to reinforce one more time the incredible love of God. And so in that first chapter, he wrote these words, "All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." And this is what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God's love becoming flesh and blood and making its dwelling place among us. About God's love reaching out to us in tangible ways, not just being expressed through words, but being expressed tangibly through the life and the death of Jesus. Listen to this part of the Christmas story as Matthew tells it in his gospel. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him." But when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem and in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Well, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that star, they were overjoyed. And on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And as we read this story, wonder perhaps why are these Magi even included in it? Because I think the inclusion of the Magi in the story of Jesus reinforces the idea of this idea that God loves the world. Because these Magi, they were not Jewish. They were not devout. They were pagans. The word Magi comes from the Greek word magos, which means magic. Or it's the word from which we get our word magic. These were sorcerers. They were people who believed that the future could be told by studying the stars. that the will of the gods could be understood as one studied the stars in the heavens. They were not kings. They worked for kings generally, because the kings tended to be very interested, especially in countries like Persia, where the Magi were considered to be of great importance. The kings were very interested in people who could foretell the future by studying the stars and give direction about how the country should move. And so Magi tended to be wealthy people who worked for kings. And these kings, these Magi were studying the heavens one night, and they saw something that they had never seen before. A new star appeared in the heavens. Now, in the ancient world, a new star was considered to accompany the birth of someone destined for greatness. Especially a new star would come when there was a new king being born. And so their journey to follow the star, to discover what it meant, led them to Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, just a few miles away, to Bethlehem, to the place where Jesus was. So why is this story captured in Scripture? Well, perhaps it's to reinforce the idea that the coming of Christ was good news for everyone, just as the angels told the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, that this would be good news for everyone, not just for the religious, not just for the devout, not just for the good or the holy, not just for the cleaned up or the folks who lived right, but the coming of Christ would be good news for all people, because God loved the world. God loved everyone. And as the story continues, we see that what love does, love causes people to love. These Magi came from long, long distance, drawn perhaps by the supernatural pull of God's love. And when they finally got to the place where Jesus was, they bowed and they worshiped him. They fell in love with a baby that they knew very little about. And then they did what people who love do. They gave. Scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved, God gave. Well, in this case, they chose to give this newborn king incredible gifts. Gold and incense and myrrh. Now, last week, I gave you an insight into how cultured I was. When I shared with you that one of my favorite movies, Christmas movies, was Christmas Vacation. It was on again yesterday. You gotta love Cousin Eddie, right? Well, so I'm sure you went home and perhaps over lunch you discovered what a cultured fellow he must really be. Well, I want to share with you another Christmas story. This one from opera. What a contrast. From an opera entitled The Mall and the Night Visitors. It tells the story of the Magi who were on their way to Bethlehem, and they stopped at the home of a poor woman who lived with her son, a mall, who was unable to walk without a crutch. And one night they were in their home and there was a knock at the door, and Amal went to check and see who was there. And he came back and he told his mother, there is a king at the door. And she didn't believe him, but eventually she did. And soon there were three of the Magi who were standing in their modest home. And she was very taken with them. She was amazed by them, and she was especially impressed by the gifts that they came bearing. She even tried to steal some of the gold that one of them was carrying. Another of the Magi saw what she was up to, and he said to her, you can keep the gold. The baby we are going to see has no need of it. But she was so moved that she said, I would never keep that gold. Take it to the baby king. If I had anything to give myself, I would do it. And then in perhaps the most powerful moment of that opera, Amal, this poor little boy who had nothing to speak of, said, I want to give him my crutch. It was the only thing he probably had, and certainly the only thing he really needed. And he decided that he wanted to give that to Jesus. And so he holds up his crutch to the Magi for them to take as a gift to this baby king. And then something miraculous happened. His mother looked and he was able to stand now on his own with no crutch. And he was able to walk without a crutch. He was healed. And this is what Christmas does. Christmas confronts us with the message of God's love, and it draws us to God. We're drawn to God not out of fear of God, but out of love, out of God's love for us. When we understand the depths of God's love, that God loves the world, but that God loves each one of us enough to send his only son into the world to give his life for us. We seem to be drawn to God by his love. And when we experience the love of God for ourselves, when we experience the amazing grace of God that's greater than our sin, when we understand that God, in spite of all that we have done and all that we have been, still chooses to love us anyway and offers forgiveness, we begin to be transformed. We give him our guilt and our shame. We give him the regrets of our past, and we find freedom in him. What's the response of someone who's been loved by God? It's to love. And the result of love is transformation. That's what happens in Amal's life, and it's what happens in the lives of the Magi as well. Herod had told them to go to Jerusalem and figure out where this baby, go to Bethlehem and figure out where this baby is, and you come back and report to me. But Herod wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus. He was going there to eliminate a threat. But after seeing and experiencing God's love lying there in a manger bed, they were so moved and transformed that when God spoke to them and asked them to go back in a different direction, to not go back to Herod, but to go in a different way, they did, and their future was changed. The direction of their lives was changed. What they had planned to do was transformed by experiencing God's love in Jesus Christ. And that could be our story as well. In fact, it's a story that many of us could tell. Our lives were headed in one direction, but then we experienced God's transforming love through Jesus Christ. And it changed us. It might not have happened all at once like the Magi, but over time we were changed, we were transformed, and we're different today. Not because of willpower, not because of intelligence, but because of the transforming power of God's love experienced through Jesus Christ. That's what love does. Love changes things. Love changes people. And so what can we learn from the story of the Magi? Well, we can learn that we're drawn to God by God's love. We can learn that God's love is for everyone, not just the devout or the upright. But God's love is for all of us. And the response to God's love is to give. And the result of love is transformation. This fourth Sunday of Advent, it tells us about God's love for us and what God was willing to do for us. He came from heaven to earth. He moved from deity to humanity. He loved us first. And God still loves us best. And our response is to love him back. To love God with all we are and everything we have. And to experience his transformational love, to share it ourselves.
would save our sons and daughters. Did you know?
Listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue, between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.